Right, okay.
As we start here, children, before you get into your sheets, you can, because some of this will be for you. I've got some questions for you as we go along, okay? What job do you think some of these people do? Okay, so children, have a look at the screen here. Right. It's not very clear, but hopefully you can see. What do you think that guy does? What do you think? Put your hand up. Put your hand up for us. What do you think? Okay, go ahead, Reuben. What was? A plumber. And why would you want a plumber to come and see you? Johan, why do you think you need a plumber?
Fix your pipes.
That's right, because, you know, if you can't do it yourself, it's probably best to get a plumber. Right, what about this guy? What does he do? Grace, do you think, what's his job? He's a painter, that's right. And why might you need a painter? Might be obvious. Yes, Lucy? To paint your walls, yeah. Maybe you're not very good at painting, you're a bit patchy. Well, you can have a painter come and do your walls. What about this guy? What's he doing? Johan knows.
Photographer.
Lucy, what's he doing?
Taking pictures.
And why might you need a man like that to come, a photographer? What do you want him to come and do for you?
Pictures.
Yeah.
Might
take pictures of all your family. That's right, yeah. Now, here's a fourth one. Now, this is really important. Now, listen. Right, what does that lady do? Can you see? The picture isn't awfully. What do you think she might be? What does she look like, Johan? Yeah.
She looks like a nurse or a doctor.
Or a doctor, yeah. I think she's a doctor. Now, why would you want to go and see a doctor? Why would you go see a doctor? I've all gotten to that sheet very soon. Jacob, why would you go and see a doctor?
To make you well.
To make you well? You'd go and see a doctor when you're poorly, wouldn't you? We go and see a doctor when we're sick. Do you go to see a doctor when you feel okay? When you feel well? No, of course you don't. That would be silly. You probably wouldn't go and see a doctor when you're feeling well. But what happens if you're sick and don't know that you're sick? What happens if you're poorly but don't know that you are poorly? My wife, she works in a hospital. She takes x-rays. And I don't know, who's had an x-ray here before? Yes, if you've had an x-ray, a radiographer like my wife, she'll come and she'll take the special machine and take a picture of what's inside your body, particularly see what your bones look like. And sometimes we use x-rays to take a picture to show us what we can't see. Maybe we don't know what's wrong, and it's not until we have an x-ray that we realise what's going wrong inside of us. Well, in our Bible passage today, we're going to have a kind of spiritual x-ray. We're going to see what bad things might be inside of us, and how Jesus, like a doctor, he comes, just like a doctor, and makes us better. And there are some people who know they need help, and there are some people who don't know what's wrong. But the sickness that Jesus came to heal wasn't really a poorly tummy, or a headache, or something like that, although we know Jesus can do all of those. He healed the paralyzed man. Rather, the sickness that Jesus came to cure was something spiritual, something in our hearts. It's called sin. Sin. Our passage today shows us that Jesus is the one who heals us of sin. Here's what our passage says. One day, Jesus was walking along, and he sees this man called Levi. Does anyone know what Levi's other name was? He had another name. There's a clue. He wrote one of the Gospels. Adults, if you want to cry out, please do. Yes, go ahead, Matt.
Matthew!
Oh, of course, he knows that. Now, Levi was a tax collector, all right? And the problem with tax collectors is that nobody liked tax collectors. You see, Levi, now he was a Jew, that means he was one of God's special people. He was working for the Romans. And the Romans had come and they'd invaded their land and taken over everything. And so for Levi to work for the Romans, well, he was working for the enemy. And what do you call somebody who works for the enemy? What might you call somebody who works for the enemy? A traitor. Yeah, you'd call him a traitor. That's what Levi was. But what was worse is that tax collectors, well, their job was to take money from the people and give it to the Romans. But tax collectors, well, they also needed to make a bit of money, so they'd have to take a bit for themselves. But nobody said how much they were allowed to take, so they could take as much as they want. So say you had, here, I've got 10 little gold coins here. I've got 10 coins. And say, well, I've got to take 3 coins for the Romans. There we are. And I better take at least 3 for myself. So I'll take 3 for myself. Oh, no, or I'll take a couple more as well. I'll take a couple of extra ones just on the side. That leaves me with 2 more gold coins. Well, that's what the tax collector's job was. And they'd take more than they should have from the people. And they got very, very rich. And everybody else got very, very poor. Now, who would want to be friends with somebody like that? Who'd want to be friends with a tax collector who took all your money and worked for the Romans? I wouldn't want to be Ollie.
Horrible.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I would want to be friends with something like that. Because nobody liked tax collectors. Well, it was very hard for tax collectors to be friends with God. They couldn't worship God, really. They weren't allowed in the temple. The only friends that tax collectors had were other tax collectors and evil, nasty, wicked, dirty people. Levi was a sinful man. Levi was a sinful man. He betrayed his people. He stole from them. He was completely cut off from God and being one of his special people. Levi was sick. Very, very sick. He was sin sick. And sin is much, much worse than being physically poorly or sick. In fact, sickness, physical sickness, exists because of sin, doesn't it? Sin is in all of us. Sin is what makes us turn against God and all that he has said. It makes us do wrong things. Sin ruins our relationships. It makes us greedy. It makes us selfish. It makes us hurtful. And here's the most serious thing. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to death. God's punishment, the Bible says, for sin is that people die. So sin is much worse than physical sickness. God might use sickness to make you die, but sin is the cause. It's a spiritual sickness that leads to physical death. Here's another question for you. Do you think Jesus would want to be friends with somebody like Levi?
No.
You don't think so?
Actually, yes.
You think so? Ah, right, maybe you know. Maybe, yeah. Maybe he's been forced. Because Jesus is very, very nice. Well, shall we see? Let's have a look, all right? Let's see what happens. In verse 27 of the passage that you're looking at, Jesus comes up to Levi and he says to Levi, of all people, follow me. Follow me. Now, what does this mean, follow me? Well, really, it was sort of an invitation by Jesus, God's son, for Levi to leave behind all his sin and become one of Jesus' followers. To follow Jesus, well, that means really to put your trust and faith in him, that you love and obey him, and that you try to invite other people to follow him as well. We could even say that Jesus was calling Levi to repent. Who said that word before, repent? You can all put your hands up if you want. Who said the word repent before? Yeah, some of the children have this too. Well, repent. Well, repentance really sort of means to change your mind about something. If you repent, you're changing your mind about something. So, for example, I might be somebody who really, really likes fried Mars bars, right? Who's ever had a fried Mars bar? Jenny Taylor's had a fried Mars bar. Catherine's had a fried... Oh, feeling a bit embarrassed. I've had a Mars... Yes, I haven't, but I'd love to. But pretend I did. Pretend I really, really loved fried Mars bars. And I had a fried Mars bar every day. I love fried Mars bars. Until one day, my wife comes up to me and she taps me on the shoulder. She says, "Dan, I'm a little bit concerned about you eating fried Mars bars every day. If you keep on eating fried Mars bars, you're just going to get really unhealthy and fat and maybe even die. Dan, you've got to stop eating fried Mars bars. They're bad for you." Now, if I was a wise man, which maybe not when it comes to food, I might listen to my wife and I decide to change my mind. And I say, "You know what? She's right. I'm not going to eat fried Mars bars every day. In fact, I'm going to do something better. I'm going to eat a bowl of fruit and vegetables every day instead." Yes. Well, that's a bit like repentance. It means to change your mind about sin. You realize, you see, how terrible sin is. It's like fried Mars bars every day. It ruins everything. It separates you from God. And so you decide to turn away from it and not do it anymore. And instead, you turn towards God. And you say, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do something that's better." So when Jesus says to Levi, "Follow me," he's saying this: "Levi, I want you to stop living this life of sin as a tax collector and instead trust in me, be my friend and follow me and my ways." Now, isn't that amazing? How wonderful it is that Jesus would call somebody as horrible as Levi and ask him to be one of his followers. If you were going to choose people to join your football team, you would want to choose the biggest and the strongest and the fittest and the most skilled at football. They're the guys you want on your team, or the girls you want on your team. Now, that was never me, so they always shoved me in goal. I had big hands and long arms. I wasn't particularly skilled at football. So you'd think Jesus, when he was sort of picking his team, as it were, he'd want really good people. He'd want really righteous people. He'd want really holy people. No. So why is it Jesus chooses somebody as sinful and wretched and as Levi to be on his team, to be one of his followers? Ollie, why do you think? Because he's nice. Here's another word we might use. This word's in the Bible. It's because Jesus is gracious. Gracious. Have you heard that word before? Gracious. God treating people in a way that they don't deserve. Levi didn't deserve Jesus' kindness, but he got it anyway. So again, can you imagine how Levi must have felt when Jesus said those two simple words, "Follow me, follow me"? See, Levi knew he wasn't worthy. Levi knew he didn't deserve to follow this amazing, holy person, Jesus. He knew that when Jesus said, "Follow me, Levi," he knew Jesus was treating him with grace and love. See, Jesus wasn't condemning him. Jesus wasn't pointing the finger. Jesus wasn't judging him. He said, "Follow me. Follow me." That was his invitation. It's fantastic to see just how much is packed into two little words. Follow me. It says grace. It says love. It says, "I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you. I've come to save you. Levi, join me." But look at what Levi does next in verse 28 in your Bibles. Levi follows Jesus, but he leaves everything behind, it says. He left everything. Everything, all of his wealth, all of his tax collecting, everything that went with it. Levi turns away from his old life of sin for Jesus. He repents. And he's trusting Jesus and his life has changed. He's repented. Jesus' grace is something so wonderful and so incredible. It's amazing grace. You know, it's so amazing. I think we should sing about it right now before we carry on. This is a hymn we're going to sing now together called Here Is Love, Vast as the Ocean. It's a great, great old hymn, an old Welsh hymn. And, it talks about Jesus' love and Jesus' grace. We're going to sing this together and then we'll finish off our passage in just a moment, okay? Let's stand together, shall we? Jesus is so gracious and so loving. So Levi has been called by Jesus. He's repented of his sin. He's trusting in Jesus. Levi has seen how loving and gracious and kind Jesus is to forgive someone like him, that he would ask him to be his friend and his follower. Now, here's a question for you. When might you have a party? When might you have a party? Now, Jacob, I know you had a party about a week ago. What was your party about? Why did you have your party? It was. Was it your birthday? Yes, it was. And I know you had a party, Jacob. And yeah, so why else might you have a party, Ollie? Think of another reason. When would you have a party?
To celebrate Jesus.
You might, yeah. And that's exactly what happens next in our story. Levi is so amazed at what Jesus has done for him, he decides to throw a party for Jesus to celebrate the fact that Jesus had changed his life. You know, when you become a Christian, those of you who are Christians here, you know about this, right? You know the joy that comes into your life to know all your sin has been forgiven, that you have a relationship with God. It fills you with joy. That's what happened to Levi. If any of you have seen Star Wars, I mean the original Star Wars, I mean like the proper films, if you watched Return of the Jedi, Episode 6. What happens at the end? Darth Vader's been defeated. The Empire's been defeated. What happens right at the very end of Star Wars, the Return of the Jedi? Reuben? You can't remember. That's right. Has he even seen it? Wow, that's amazing. There's a party, right, Reuben? You remember this in the forest? They celebrate because the bad guys are defeated and the good guys have won, right? You remember, Johan?
And then Darth Vader takes his mask off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he says, everybody gets reconciled and becomes friends. Very nice. There's a party at the end of it because something great has happened. Everybody's been saved. Well, because of the same thing, Levi's experienced salvation. He celebrates, he worships by throwing this feast for Jesus. And Levi invites all of his friends to come and meet the man who changed his life, except all of Levi's friends, well, they're tax collectors and sinners. They're the folk that come to the party. But that's okay, because Levi knows, well, if Jesus can love me, he can love anybody. Now, that would be a lovely way to end, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? We could just, oh, praise God. God, isn't Jesus gracious and changed Levi, praise God. But the story doesn't end there. There's a little bit more. There are some people who aren't happy about this party. They are the Pharisees, the party poopers. Now the Pharisees, they were very religious people. They were definitely not like the tax collectors. The Pharisees, they kept all of the rules. They obeyed all of God's laws. Well, at least on the outside. On the outside, the Pharisees, well, they looked really, really good. And they knew it. They knew it. If Jesus was going to pick a team, anyone to be on his side, you'd have thought he'd have picked them because they were that good. And they took pride in the fact that they were so good and religious and clean. And the Pharisees like to make everyone else see how good they are and everyone else feel bad because they weren't as good as the Pharisees. So when Jesus is at this party with tax collectors and sinners, they're completely shocked. Look at verse 30 in your Bibles. Look at what they say. And the Pharisees and their scribes complained or grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners?" They sort of spit it out. They're so disgusted by Jesus. They can hardly believe it, that Jesus would be having a meal with such horrid and sinful, wretched people. They would never do such a thing. Now, what will Jesus say? Will Jesus be a bit embarrassed that he's been caught eating with this kind of person? Well, look at what he says. Verse 31 and 32. This is the key to our passage. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a physician or a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call righteous or good people. I've come to call sinners to repentance." Instead of making excuses for himself and apologizing to the Pharisees that he's offended them, he says, "You don't get it. It's because of these people. It's exactly because of these people for why that's why I came. I came for these people. It's exactly why I'm here." You see, Jesus is like a doctor who'd come to heal sick people. Doctors don't spend all their time with healthy people. They spend most of their time with sick people. That's why Jesus was here. And so it's no surprise that Jesus will be found among sinners like Levi and all his friends. They needed Jesus the most. Just like a doctor's meant to treat sick people, not healthy people. Jesus has come to forgive sinful people, not righteous people. The Pharisees, they thought they were the righteous ones, the good ones, and that God was most pleased with them. But the problem is, the Pharisees actually, they couldn't see that they were sick too. Like you take an X-ray to see what's going on under your skin, the things you can't see. Well, the Pharisees couldn't see that they were sick with sin as well. They needed Jesus too. A few years ago, some of you know this story, my mom got a letter from the doctor to say that she needed to go for some special tests. My mom said, I'll go later. I don't need to go now. I'll put it off. And she put it off. She waited a long time. Many, 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 many months went by. And then she got talking to her friend and said, "Well, I got one of those letters as well. Oh, you should probably go." And so my mom thought, "Oh, all right then, I better go." So she went to the doctors and had this special test. And they found out that she was poorly. In fact, she was very, very poorly. She had cancer. And if they didn't do something, my mum would die. Well, thankfully, they managed to catch it in time, and she went through some treatment, and now she's all better and fine, which is fantastic. But my mum didn't know she was sick, and she didn't want to believe she might be sick, and so she put it off, and put it off, and put it off. It was only when she came to the doctor and realised that she was sick, then it became more serious. Well, the Pharisees, they were sick, and they didn't know it. On the outside, they looked good. My mom, she felt healthy. She didn't think anything was wrong with her. But inside, there was a big problem. And that's what the Pharisees were. They had a big problem on the inside. It was their sin. And they were just as bad as Levi. And they refused to accept it. And because they couldn't admit that sin was their problem, they would never realize that they needed to go to Jesus for healing. The Pharisees were annoyed with Jesus because he spent so much time with sinners, not realizing that they were sinners too. Listen, this is the phrase I want you to remember today out of everything I've said so far, adults as much as children. Christianity is not for good people. Christianity is not for good people. Jesus didn't come for good people. He came for bad people, for sinners. And it's only people who know that they are sinners, like Levi, who would even consider coming to Jesus for forgiveness and healing. But the ironic thing, here's the thing about what Jesus is saying here. There really isn't anybody who's good and righteous. Romans says, in the Bible, Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says that there is no one righteous, no, not one. Everybody in this room right now, without Jesus, is a sinner. The one major reason, one of the major reasons why so many people turn away from God is because they simply aren't willing to see that they're a sinner. They say things like, I'm a good person. I've never hurt anyone. I've never committed any crime. I'm nice to people. I even go to church sometimes. I'm definitely not a sinner. I'm definitely not as bad as those people over there, whoever they might be. But what those people can't see is just how serious sin is. Even the small things we do wrong. In fact, sin is so serious, it meant that Jesus had to die for us to be forgiven. Sin has to be punished by God, otherwise he's not God. But instead of us dying for our sin, Jesus came into the world to die in our place on the cross. He was killed, in fact, by the Pharisees. But that was God's plan, so that we could be forgiven. And then 3 days later, we sang about this, what happened? He promised that 3 days after death, he'd rise. And he did. And he did. And he did. He rose again. He defeated. He conquered death, Johan. Exactly. Praise the Lord. He conquered death. Amen? He conquered death. Although Christians, I will probably die one day. Well, it's guaranteed, 100%. I will die physically. My body will die. But because of Jesus, I know that death won't be the end of me. I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Not because of me, but because of him. Death isn't the end of me. And death isn't the end of anybody who's following Jesus. So we all need Jesus to heal our sin-sick hearts and free us from death. So this morning, and I'm almost done here, this morning Jesus is calling you. Just like he called Levi, he's calling you this morning. Come, follow me. Repent of all your sin. Turn away from it because it leads to death. Come to me because I love you and I will forgive you no matter how bad you think you are, because you are the reason I came into this world. So how you respond to that call,